Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Turn with us tonight to the book of Romans, chapter number 12. Romans, chapter number 12. So grateful for the privilege to be here tonight, certainly desiring God just to move among us. Now, for homework, I want you to go home and I want you to read the entirety of chapter number 12. We're going to begin at verse number 9 and read down through the rest of that chapter, but excluding the first 8 verses kind of breaks my heart. But we'll stick to the topic tonight and just trust that when you go home, you'll open up the scripture and read through the entire chapter. Mine gives a heading, says exhortation to practical living. And certainly what it means is godly living. So I believe it would be a benefit and a profit to us all. Chapter 12, verse number 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Or, in other words, let love be genuine. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Anybody convicted yet? Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Lord, we approach your word, guilty and yet open, praying that you would speak clearly to us. I realize that just in what we've read is more than can be comprehended or dealt with. But I pray you'd convict us clearly, showing us where we come short and where we need to move in. We thank you for this word, and we pray for the power and the benefit of its work in our life. We pray for the divine transformational moving of your word into our hearts, that it might find its place and forever be settled in us, that we might be the servants you've called us to be. Forgive us, we pray, as we earnestly pray for the unction and the power in this obedient thing, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't think I'll be long tonight, but I never think I'm going to be long, and so that's probably not helpful. But I do want to ask questions because I believe it's important that we address some things as we approach hard things in this world. I'm not a prophet nor a seer, so I can't see the future no more than you can. But I can look around me and see that there is evil everywhere. Everybody agree with that? There's evil everywhere. I read to you in three different times, just in the few verses that I read to you tonight, the word evil was spoken of. Multiple times the word evil was mentioned. You don't think evil is a new concept, do you? Evil has always been around. And God has always had an answer for it. And I'm afraid that I don't always overcome evil with good. And that's the admonition tonight, is we need to look at verse number 21 as our text. And the apostle clearly said, after giving them such grand advice and admonition, clear direction on how to live a godly life. And chapter number 12 is not the only place you'll find that. The New Testament's full of it. But the apostle, as he summed up at least this particular part, he said, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, I found this a great challenge as I read this again and again. For I believe what he was saying was is that we need to take heart, because evil doesn't have the power to overcome us. The only way evil will overcome you is if you surrender to it. If you give in to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, I can assure you, evil will infiltrate your life. And the wake and the disaster that will come in the wake of its presence can be staggering. It can change the lives of some. Some can never repair what evil can do in just a few hours. Lives can be altered completely. Marriages broken, families undone. Because evil was given a chance in somebody's life. We know it's true. We know it's true. No, if we could take in our own heart and understand the danger of playing with sin, there's a price to it. There's a cost. Amen. It's one we can't pay. Amen. We can't get ourselves out of trouble. Thank God for repentance. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for the blood that was shed for the sins of myself. Thank God for the one that's willing to reach down and to forgive me when I repent of my sin and turn from it. Thanks be to God for Jesus, who will forgive me of sin. But all what the apostle is admonishing them here in this chapter is that we, number one, not be overcome of evil. To recognize that evil doesn't have a power over me. What rules in my life is something greater than what's in this world. The Holy Spirit of God abides within me. And I say to you today that it is above evil. It is not able to be tempted by evil. And friend, if we'll pay attention to the Word of God and the Spirit of God in us, evil has no power over the children of God. Now there's evil everywhere. That's for certain. But I believe the apostle was trying to be clear, and I want to encourage you tonight that evil doesn't have a force. It doesn't have a resource that can overcome the people of God and what's in us. Never could, never will. If we'll trust in what's inside of us and obey the Word of God, you'll always win the victory. Be not overcome of evil. Now that's clear. And I believe all of us could use that as word of advice as we go out into the world tomorrow, is to remind ourselves that I needn't fear evil because it doesn't have the power to overcome me. Right? So that there are people that live in fear that evil will overcome them. But for the child of God today, let me reassure you, it don't have that power. If it did, it'd overcome us all. Right? That none of us have any hope at all. Amen. He'd deceive the very elect if he could. But he can't. You understand that? He can't. He cannot deceive the elect of God.
That's right.
You say, how do you know? Because my eyes have been opened. I'm no longer blind. It's the blind that are deceived, not those that are in the light. I live today not in the strength of my flesh, but I live in the strength of the Holy Spirit of God that abides within me. And I rejoice for that truth.
Amen.
Amen. I feel a courage tonight that I don't always feel.
Amen.
I've said that before. When the Holy Spirit's present, amen, you feel bulletproof. You say, how come? Because you are. I'll just put it that way. When the Holy Spirit of God is present, here's what I can assure you. There ain't anything stronger than the Spirit that abides within me.
Yeah. Amen.
It may be the will of God that I go down by some means that was unbeknownst to anybody. That has nothing to do with anything. What I can tell you is the Spirit of God is greater than anything that will ever come in my life, and there will be nothing take me not according to the will of God. But ain't my time to go, I ain't going. Say, how do you know that? Because ain't nobody in control but Him. Well, I got to move on. That's a good thought though, ain't it? I ain't overcome of evil. I don't have to worry about it. The preacher, I'm afraid I'll just fall. I'm just going to lose it all. Thank God it ain't that way.
Yeah.
Now there's personal responsibility, and that's a different message. But you know what I'm talking about. Every one of us have a responsibility to live right and to be right. And if you're not living right, get right. That's as simple an admonition as I can give you. Repent and get right with God. If you're not living right, you know it. If you're a child of God, quit playing around in sin, because evil will cost you more than you can pay. Now, let's get to the heart of it. What he said was, is be not overcome of evil. He said, but you overcome evil with good. He turned it on us, didn't he? But I love it and I hate it when Paul does that. It was a passive statement at first. It was a passive admonition, one in which Paul, I can just put up the doors and say, you can't get in. He wasn't done. No, what he intended for me to take away from it was I need to kick the doors open and say, I'm coming after you.
Amen.
Oh, that's a rub, ain't it? Now that violates our personal space when he goes there. It's one thing to say, hey, nothing can get to you, right? You're comfortable as long as you're inside the walls of the fortified palace. But what he's saying is not only do you not have to worry about it, but I expect you to get out there and confront it and be something that is good in the face of evil itself. Now there's where I started to have to repent.
Amen.
That's where it started falling down around my ears. Is when I recognized the call of God is not to sit inside the protective custody of the Holy Spirit, but by the means of the Holy Spirit to step outside in the face of evil and say, I defy you by the ground that I stand on according to the power of the living God. You have no power, and by the love of God, we can overcome evil with good. Do you believe that? We say amen, but we're going to have to challenge ourselves on this one, right? We can say amen all day long, but here's the fruit of it. If you don't do it, amen, it, you don't believe it. The real problem is that true evil's never faced us. Maybe here and there. We've never had the true impact of the force of evil as it was persecuting the church in the early church.
Right.
We have no idea what evil looks like for a Chinaman that's out there trying to serve Christ with all of his heart and having to hide to do it. We don't know what that's like. We're fat and happy and sassy here in America. Amen. We've got liberties and rights right now. Amen. That give us the privilege to gather together. And I want you to know I thank God and the men that serve to die and give me that right. And I appreciate that. I do. And I know that those rights, they don't come from God or from an elected official. They come from my God. These are inalienable rights that He has given me to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. And brother, at the heart of that is to worship Jesus Christ as I want to.
Amen.
Wherever I want to, however I want to, whenever I want to, I have a right in this country to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to do so. And even if there ain't a right, I have a mandate given to me by God. And if the evil of this world comes against you and me, we have a mandate to stand against evil with the good of Jesus Christ and keep on keeping on for God. We don't give up. We don't give up. We have the absolute declaration of the Word of God that says evil cannot overcome me. Now people would use the premise that dying is being overcome by evil. That's not true. That's not true. Jesus died, but it wasn't evil that got Him. As a matter of fact, He defeated everything about evil when He did die. As a matter of fact, He had to die to defeat evil anyhow. To defeat death, to defeat sin. He had to deal with that through death. And friend, regardless of what happens to you and I, the admonition of God is to address the evil of this world. And to do so with good. To do so with good. Alright, I think we have the platform on which to launch this thing. Right, you with me? Evil does not have the power over a child of God. But more than that, I have a responsibility to address evil when it is present at least in my life with good. And I have a sneaky suspicion that if evil popped up in front of your face, you might bust its nose. And there ain't no word that declares that as good. Right? We want to talk about these spiritual platitudes as long as it ain't somebody in our face cursing us. Because if they in our face cursing us, we're going to come back with a curse of our own. Is that what He said? No. No, He said overcome evil with good. He said specifically that you will not, or you are not, to recompense to no man evil for evil. Is that not what He said in verse number 17?
Sure.
Say amen. Amen. That's what He said. We can't exclude ourselves from it because we didn't actually like the specific name we were called.
Right.
Or that He addressed our mother when He said it. Right? People know, evil knows how to push the buttons.
You're right.
That drags you into a sinful condition. The Bible said that I can be angry, but I am forbidden to sin. Huh? We need this. We can be angry at evil, but we are not allowed to sin because of it. Pay back to no man evil for evil that you have been done. Now the Apostle Paul is simply talking about things that Jesus Christ Himself talked about when He was preaching on the earth. Did He not? I want to read to you some of those. Jesus said in the book of Luke, He said, "Bless them that curse you." How many would find that a very difficult task? Tell the truth now. We would be sinful if we responded to evil with evil. Jesus said, "Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. Turn the other cheek. Offer your cloak also. Walk the extra mile. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." How many times did Jesus declare and live this truth in front of men? He was faced with evil all the time. They were constantly trying to do Him in. And you know what? He never did pay evil back with evil. Never did. You say, "Oh, He did one time when He went in the temple No, that wasn't evil. As a matter of fact, Jesus wasn't responding to anything done to him. He made it clear to whom they had violated. He said, this is God's house of prayer, and you have made it a den of thieves. Out. And he put them out of there. He didn't violate any mandate of God. Amen. He stood for what was right. And you and I have a responsibility to stand and to always do right. You say, well, sometimes you just got to deal with it the way you were dealt with. I'll tell you, that's false theology. It won't work. It never has worked. It won't work in you. It won't work in me. Brother, when he said recompense to no man evil for evil, that is exactly what he meant. What I'm admitting to you is that that's harder to do than it is to preach about. But it does not excuse us from the mandate and of teaching ourselves that the proper response for evil is what? Good. Good. All right, we're fixing to get this thing moving now. Let's go from the platform, right? We agree. Anybody not with me, you just got to repent. I've given you the rock here we're leaving from. Because the truth is the truth, whether you like it or don't like it. We need it. And the only way to deal with evil is to understand what we have that we can deal with it on. And what the Bible said, what Paul gave to us was a wondrous treasure. What he is saying to you and me is that we have the power to overcome evil, but we have to incorporate the holiness of the goodness of God. We have to let goodness rule. We have to respond in goodness. And brother, if we'll respond with goodness according to the word of God, evil is overcome. Amen. True or false? Then what are we doing? Right? We operating on false doctrines. We playing around in stuff that gets us in trouble. Right? Because we end up doing to them what they did to us. That's not what he told them. So, he said, you overcome evil with good. He said, as a matter of fact, it's like this. When you do good unto those that have done you evil, he said, you heap coals of fire on their heads. Now, I wish, okay, metaphorically follow me on this one. I wish that right now I could use Justin as an example and set him right here. And I take me a big pan of burning hot coals. And I slip over here. And I pour that on top of his head. You say, wait a minute, you can't do that. That's horrible. You'd ruin him for... I'm just saying what he said. You understand where I'm going with this? He said, when you use good to respond to evil. He said, that's pretty tough stuff. He said, because it'll be like coals of fire upon their head. I don't know what you could have done to him physically that would have changed or made it worse than that. You see what I'm saying? What God says, don't you worry about that part. Amen. Don't recompense evil to evil. He said, no. He said, as a matter of fact, give place to your wrath. Amen. When you're so mad, you just blow a gasket. Amen. He said, just give place to it. Let it go. Turn it loose. Let me have it, he said. I will avenge. I will repay, saith the Lord. How many knows that he can repay? Amen. He can repay. How many knows he's the one that should be repaying, not you? That's right. We have no responsibility paying evil back with evil. Number one, it's going to get you in trouble. Number two, it's going to ruin your testimony. Number three, you will not accomplish the purpose of God in the process. You could cause that very soul to die lost without Christ. Because you responded as the flesh would respond. Overcome evil with good. My goodness, I didn't know it would be this hard to get this one rolling. But it's good. I like it. I'm going to quickly go through the two things I want you to take away from this. Number one, to overcome evil with good, you've got to start by thinking good. You've got to start by thinking good. What's the first thing that happens when we're when we're presented with evil, we got a split second to make a choice. Do you know where that choice? Out of the heart. It goes straight to the brain, and the brain's got to make a choice, don't it? Got to decide what you're going to do. Now, if the heart's full of the good thing, it ought to be coming up with something that we've learned, something that we've been taught, the goodness of God, how we respond when we're persecuted. What Jesus say? He said, bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. We forget that part when we're persecuted, don't we? That's why we're reminding ourselves tonight, is because we need to know this truth. We need to remember that what Jesus said is the way you deal with evil is you bless them that curse you. If they need your coat, give them your cloak too. If they need you to walk a mile, go too with them. If they need you to, if they're going to smite you on the cheek, turn the other one if you have to. But what you are going to do is to address the problem of evil with good. And that begins by thinking good. All right, let's take a quick exercise on how to think good. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 8. Everybody knows where I'm going. Well, Bible readers know where I'm going with this. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 8. I'm going to read it to you. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Wait just a minute. Let me say something right here. When the Apostle Paul said this, when he said, finally, brethren, I want you to take note that what he's fixing to say is absolutely very important. What he is he's saying, finally, I'm going to give you something that is absolutely life-changing if you will employ it into your daily walk. Finally, brethren, finally, sisters, listen to me tonight. Listen to what he said. He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what did he say? Think on these things. We have to teach ourselves, and I'm going to say I need help with this, and I've prayed about it today. I asked the Holy Spirit to help me with this specifically, to teach me this simple exercise. That when I'm confronted with evil, there is an automatic response from my soul that triggers my brain to think about what things? Good things. Right? What the apostle said in 4 and 8 of Philippians, he said, think on these things, whatever things are good and just and lovely and pure and of good report. And if anything of virtue and praise, amen, we need to think on these things. We need to dwell on these. You say, I can't do that when somebody's standing in my face, they're cursing me or they're despitefully using me. I don't know about you, but here's what I can say. We all are going to need help with this, but it starts by thinking our own ourselves disciplined into the act of thinking good things. Because I can promise you, at the very instant your mind begins to think the bad things, you're going down the wrong side of the hill. And that will cost you. That will cost you. And it could cost that poor person that's doing the evil to you that may never know Christ. Because you responded in a way that was evil with evil. And you know what they think? If that's being a Christian, I'm just like them. They know better than me. Right? If I can bust one in the nose and they bust me back, that means they're the same as me. There ain't nothing to being a believer. That's how important this is. That poor soul. Amen. Possessed by the evil of this world, ruled by the lust of his own flesh and the pride of his own life and the lust of his eyes, blinded to everything that's good. And the one chance he's got is for you to look him in the eye and say, I love you anyhow. I heard a story one time. I wasn't there. I just heard the story about Valerie's dad. You may not ever heard the story, but I heard the story. I never, ever forgot him. He employed good in the very face of evil. Somebody curses you out and you look at them and in genuine truth, you love them. You just poured coals of fire on their head. Never swung a punch, never said a bad word. And that poor soul that gave you you know what they got in return? They got something that was the epitome of what Christ came to do. And that was to die for the sinner. Remember what I read to you when I first started? Jesus said on the cross, Father, what did he say about you? Forgive them. If anybody was being cursed, if anybody was being despitefully used, my Lord was. And I was doing it. And he said, Father, forgive them. Remember the prophet Stephen? Remember the disciple Stephen, the deacon Stephen? They're hurling them big rocks down on him, pounding his head and his body. Those stones just beating him to a pulp. And as he fell to his knees, he looked up into heaven. He said, Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge. Not this one. As he looked up, the Bible said he saw Jesus. He wasn't sitting. Jesus standing. Wasn't his will to save old Stephen. No. It's his will. He's fixing to get Stephen. He's fixing to get. See, the greatest honor that Stephen could have ever done was to love the sinner. Oh, we miss it. You overcome evil. Overcome it. With one thing. That is good. Good. Good is more powerful than evil. That is a lesson we must learn. Good has an ability that evil will never have. See, good... The Bible said that it was by the goodness of Christ that I sought repentance. It was His goodness that led me to repent. Number one, we have to think good. In Philippians chapter number 2, we're told by the apostle in the same regard, we're said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he gave up everything else to become the sacrifice, even to the obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In his mind, let me be real clear with what Jesus did when he rescued the souls of everyone that would believe thereafter. He defeated evil with good. That's enough proof right there. I needn't say any more. That's enough said. You can defeat evil with good. It's just contrary to your nature. It's not in the flesh to respond to evil with good. That's just like God to make it something like that, right? What we have to rely upon is the inward man and not the outward man. That's where the exercise of thinking good things comes into play. Number two, and we'll close with this. Once we think good things, and I'm telling you, you're going to have to exercise this for it to become a discipline. Right? You may fail. Wait, you will fail. The flesh is weak when it comes to this. There's probably not any other circumstance the flesh is any weaker than how we respond to being mistreated. Everything in us wants to respond the wrong way. Okay? So we have to teach ourselves by the help of the Holy Spirit, we have to exercise until this becomes a discipline that we employ every day. When we can think good while evil is happening, then and only then will we be able to do good while evil is happening. Turn back to Romans chapter number 12. I want to read this passage again, starting in verse number 14 now is where we're going to start. Okay? But I'm going to close with this truth right out of the Word of God. Alright? Number one, we're going to think good things. But number two, having thought the good things, right, we have established where we're going with our response. Number two, we have to put those good things into action. Right? And that's what the whole verse number 21 was about. Be not overcome of evil. Right? That's number one. That's thinking and knowing evil doesn't have the power to overcome me. But number two is getting outside of that comfortable place, knowing that evil doesn't have, and addressing evil with something that can help the doer of the evil. And what's that? Good. Right? You overcome evil with good. And so we go back to verse number 14, and I'm simply going to read to you verse number 14 through 20. And I want you to recognize that what the Apostle Paul is saying is he's saying, now, this is how to practically employ good things when you are experiencing the evil things. Verse number 14, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Sound just like Jesus, don't it? Yep. Verse number 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep, be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, be not wise in your own conceits. Number 17, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, what do? If your enemy's thirsty, what do? For in so doing, thou shalt reap coals of fire upon his head. Now, the motivation for doing good is not to see somebody's head burn up. Right? You missed the point if that's what you thought that was about. What he's trying to say is you will have a much greater effect on anyone by responding with good than you will ever or could ever do in responding with evil. Come get a song. Be not overcome of evil. Right? What he's saying is evil doesn't have a power to overcome you. Right? There is greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Period. But that's the passive part of that statement. Right? Now I'm grateful for that part. But number two, he said, but you. That's how you have to read that one. But you overcome evil with good. Now what evil was trying to do to you was what? Overcome you. Right? And I can sit back here in my Holy Ghost palace and say, you know, too bad, you can't get to me. But that's not good enough for God. What God's saying is, yeah, I've got you. They can't get you. But for that very reason, step out. For that very reason, take courage and step out and look evil in the eye. And do good. And you will have greater effect. You can overcome evil with good. Boy, what a fascinating concept. That set me free if I get it. Set us all free if we get it and apply it. I got to think good. And then I got to do good. But good is a power that evil can't deal with. Enemy's hungry. Say, feed him. What? Right? Some of you have thought in your mind. I've heard people say it. I wouldn't give him a breath if he was stuck in a bag and needed it. Every one of us probably thought it. I wouldn't blow a whistle if there's a train right on his tail. That's being overcome by evil. That's what's happened, right? You got overcome. No. He said, you want to really win this battle? He said, feed your enemy. You want to really win? Give him a drink when he's the thirstiest he's ever been. That's what Jesus was all about, wasn't it? What he's all about. I got closed, but boy, I feel liberty tonight. And I'm glad. I'm grateful. Thank you for praying for me, by the way. I'm going to expose my heart just for a second. I desire liberty more than I do breath. You say, what's liberty? The Spirit of God. Where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. And I long for that more than anything, is that freedom. And I can tell you when it's here, I know the difference. It's when the Holy Spirit of God has a hold of you and won't let loose. It's the grandest thing I've ever experienced. And when he called me to it, he made it in me more important than anything else. All right, enough of that. I wanted to leave you with one thing. It's where it comes down to, Paul. Jesus was so real. And I'm so not Jesus. He'd prayed all night long. Suffered. Oh, how he'd suffered in the garden as he agonized before God till his sweat became as great drops of blood. And then here they come. Here they come. He knew they was coming. He told his disciples, he said, sleep on now. He said, they're coming. And you know who's in the front? Old Judas. The one that Jesus loved him. Judas, one of his 12. Jesus knew all along who he was and what he'd do. Yet he still loved him. Oh, Judas told him, he said, the one that I kiss, that'll be the one you take. And he walked right up to Jesus. And he kissed the Lord. Jesus looked at him and he said, friend, you get it now? He said, friend, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Peter jerked that sword out, and he went into swinging. There's a soldier that's coming in on him. He wasn't aiming for no ear, I assure you. He aimed to take that fella's head off. He cut his ear plumb off. You know what Jesus said? He said, put your sword up. If you live by that, what'll happen? You know what he's teaching him? Recompense no man evil for evil. No. He said, the way you deal with evil is with good. And you know what Jesus did? Picked that old nasty bloody ear up. stuck it back on the boy's head and healed him. You don't think he was living it? You don't overcome evil with evil. No, Jesus proved it. You overcome evil with good, and good comes from the inside of us. Good comes from a heart that has been cleansed and purified by the Christ we serve, empowered by the Holy Ghost that is divine in every way and cannot fail. Good is in me. I can do good. In every situation, I can do good. Because good is in me. God is good and He lives in me. Well, that's a good word. It's helped me. I hope it's helped you. Stand with us tonight. If you need Him, come, get right. Make sure you're right with God. Don't play around with this.